You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it's True Stories Told Live on the Moth Radio Hour. Tonight, 4 stories about our relationship to home, yearning for a place to call home, leaving one home in search of another, and coming to find beauty and a true sense of belonging. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, Congress passed the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act in 2010, following the economic fallout of the Great Recession. The act sought to regulate banks and protect consumers in order to head off a future economic crisis.
Lawmakers have never quite seen eye to eye over that legislation, but Republicans in particular would like to see the Dodd-Frank Act overturned. And with President Trump in the White House, the legislation could get overturned sooner than later.
Jared Bennett joins us now. He's a digital editor and reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. That's a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative news organization. Jared, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the basics. What key things does the Dodd-Frank Act do?
It's a really complicated bill. As you know, you may remember we had a lot of problems to solve in the wake of the Great Recession. So there's a lot of stuff crammed into Dodd-Frank. But the best way to describe it is that it tried to be a little bit more forward-looking and say, the general consensus is that we had the tools to regulate banks before the crash, and we just weren't using them, or regulation wasn't sort of under the same roof. And so what Dodd-Frank tried to do was create systems so that, regulators could keep a sort of forward-looking eye on banks and the activities that they're up to. So a lot of what's in it is things like, they created a council to sort of to put a lot of financial regulation under one roof, and that is the Financial Stability Oversight Council. A lot of what it was trying to do was about reporting and making sure we have the information about what banks are up to.
One of the steps in this legislation was the so-called stress test, where federal regulators, as I understand, would kind of do a little shakedown cruise for a bank and see if they were at risk of falling apart. Has that been one of the controversial points?
It has been controversial for, when they first started doing the stress tests, there was a few rounds where some of the bigger banks, there's some question about whether they would pass or not. But now a lot of the controversy is really about from the banks and the industries that are regulated that these stress tests are sort of the reasoning is, a little bit opaque and not exactly clear. One of the proposals for rolling back Dodd-Frank would actually give banks a little bit more say in, look, we know what we're doing. We're involved in this industry every day, and so we should be able to have a say in, what determines whether we pass a stress test or not. So that is one of the more controversial items and one of the things sort of on the table to be tweaked.
Sounds like another aspect on the table maybe to be tweaked is changing the too-big-to-fail legislation for what actually happens when a bank goes bankrupt. How might that change?
Yeah, so that is a very controversial aspect of it. Depending on who you talk to, one of the big criticisms of Dodd-Frank is that it didn't end too big to fail. Now, sort of on the Democratic side, what they'll say is that, that's a fair criticism. They didn't break up the big banks. They decided not to do that. But what they did do is put these sort of forward-looking processes in place so that, like I said, they're going to be paying attention to banks ahead of time and sort of keep making sure that they can see things as they come on the horizon. But should one get in trouble, and there's a few layers of protections that and steps that they would go through, and the final one being an orderly liquidation process, which is where the bank would sort of be taken over by the federal government and wound down in a way that would cause, you know, that wouldn't require bailout in the way that we a lot of banks did require a bailout after the crisis, and it would sort of be a bit more organized and structured process. This banks are also required to hold living wills now, which is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's something that says, should we get into trouble, should we hit a speed bump in, or that we don't know about, this is our plan for winding down in a way that won't cause a systematic collapse of the economy.
Talking to Jared Bennett from the Center for Public Integrity, looking at a Dodd-Frank Wall Street and banking legislation from 2010 on the chopping block, or a lot of it. And Jared, let's get into the politics. This week, President Trump talked about this, said, I think it was, we're going to do a number on Dodd-Frank. What's leading the opposition to this among congressional Republicans and now the new president?
Dodd-Frank, when it was passed, it was pretty controversial. It was really passed in a state of or directly following a state of crisis. So, a lot of pushback, especially from some of the industries that it regulates, that it goes too far, and that, you know, it's sort of creates the term nanny state is thrown around a lot. You know, it's a lot of sort of overreach and sort of telling people how to run their business. You hear that a lot. The big sort of talking point that you hear a lot is that it's very hard on smaller banks and community banks, credit unions. And now, interestingly, you know, like I said, Dodd-Frank didn't end sort of the big banks. It didn't break up those, and actually their market share has increased during this period after Dodd-Frank. That's where there's a lot of discussion and a lot of argument about is this sort of caused by Dodd-Frank, or is it trends that were in place long before Dodd-Frank even came along, and it's just part of technology and the industry in general.
What do you see in the tea leaves for the Consumer Financial Protections Bureau?
Yeah, that is probably the most kind of high-profile aspect of Dodd-Frank and consumer financial regulation that you'll probably see a pretty big fight over. And now, a lot of the changes that have been proposed to it can actually be done without legislation. So the two sort of big picture changes would be things like changing it from a single director, which it has now, to a commission, a 5-person commission. And then the other one would be taking its funding away from directly from the Federal Reserve, which is now, and placing it under the congressional appropriations process. What that would do is, you know, depending on what side of the argument you're on, that would either make it a little bit more accountable to elected officials, you know, because that would lead to debate in Congress about, you know, should we fund this agency, you know, that's up to all sorts of things. Should we fund it at this level, or should we roll it back? Or having a little bit more hand in sort of looking at what it's actually up to. And then on the other side, that the argument is that would politicize the agency, which is really supposed to be apolitical and really looking out for consumers, and could subject it to a lot of gridlock and a lot of standstill in an environment that some of the stuff regulators and the CFPB, they want to be able to react fast to things like the Wells Fargo crisis. Crisis is not the right word. Wells Fargo issue, where we had a few months ago, where they're opening accounts without customers' knowledge. The CFPB was able to get on top of that fairly quickly. And, you know, with these changes, that it, it's not clear whether they'd be able to react right away or whether they'd have to go to Congress to, you know, say there's an issue, we want to react to it. So there's a lot of questions about that, but that is definitely one of the higher profile fights I think we'll see.
And Jared, in a piece you wrote about this, you followed some of the campaign donation money from big banks to people supporting changes in this banking regulation change. What kind of things did you find out?
Yeah, so this is, we in 2014, we had written a story about what we called the Banking Caucus. And these were people, representatives in the House that, yeah, they get a lot of money from financial institutions. It's a lot of, most of them are on the House Financial Services Committee, which mean, you know, that is the committee that decides laws on financial regulation. So it makes sense that that's where the money would be going. And yeah, so there, we found a lot of, and it, the money is pretty staggering. It's a lot of money, as you saw. The leader that we were able to sort of look at his campaign contributions was Jeb Hensarling. And also Sean Duffy from Wisconsin was on our list, and also a co-sponsor of the sort of high profile legislation that would target Dodd-Frank coming up. It's a lot of money from banks. We're talking, you know, I'm looking at right now $4 million to over $4 million to Hensarling over Jeb Hensarling over his career. But it's not just banks. Also, that's sort of a key point. You know, a lot of this money comes from commercial banks. That would be the Bank of America's, you know, the Wells Fargo's, but a lot of it also is from, hedge funds, private equity firms, insurance agencies are a big one. You know, AIG received the largest bailout after the financial crash, and that was an insurance agency, not a bank. So,
Jared Bennett is with us from the Center for Public Integrity, looking at efforts to overturn parts of the Dodd-Frank Act, which regulates banks.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Should the Dodd-Frank Act stay in place, or should Congress repeal it all or in part? Do you think banks should be heavily regulated? Should the federal government keep a close eye on them, especially after the crash back in 2008 and the Great Recession? Or should banks be able to go about their business and self-regulate as much as possible? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation about the state of the Dodd-Frank banking regulations under the Trump administration. Jared Bennett is with us, digital editor and reporter for the Center for Public Integrity.
And we'd like to hear from you on this. What do you think about the Dodd-Frank Act potentially being dismantled? How closely should banks be regulated? And do you want more oversight of American financial institutions, or do the regulations maybe hurt the economy? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers now. Terry is on the line with us in Green Bay. Terry, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm very much in favor of keeping Dodd-Frank on the books. The government is supposed to be there to protect people, and we should have regulations that, of course, are going to protect people and their money. To just get rid of this is basically allowing the banks to step on people and to get every buck they can. And we've already seen what they can do after 2008 and the economy crashing. If we don't have regulation, we're just going to see this again in some new form.
Terry, thanks for the call. And Jared, is that the sort of thing we're hearing from advocates for banking regulation and from maybe Democrats in Congress?
Absolutely, especially with regards to things like the CFPB. There are the way I think about it, there are two sorts of regulation involved with Dodd-Frank. Right in that sort of mouthful of a name, there's the big picture financial regulation stuff that is about our financial system as a whole, you know, making sure that if part of it goes down, it's not going to bring the rest of it down. And then the other part of it is consumer protection. And and establishing how much can agencies like the CFPB, but some other agencies also, the OCC is a great is another regulator that's involved in some of these consumer protection issues. You know, how much can they get out and ahead of issues and respond to things that are maybe abusive to consumers? And like you said, this is that sort of, like your caller said, that really goes down to individuals, you know, working people, whether they open, you know, anyone with a bank account really, or a mortgage or things like that.
I want to go back to our callers now. We have Ann joining us next in Madison. Ann, hi.
Hi. I am very much in support of keeping and even strengthening Dodd-Frank. My opinion is that the bailouts to these banks and insurance and other large institutions that are considered too big to fail, that's a form of theft, in my opinion, from the taxpayer.
Ann, thanks a lot for that. And are there people, Jared, in Congress who agree with Ann, who will be defending Dodd-Frank, maybe making it stronger is not really on the table, but who agrees with that point of view?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, probably the most visible defender of Dodd-Frank is Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, the senator from Massachusetts. You know, she was instrumental in creating the CFPB, and, she, you know, a lot of she is out and already sort of out ahead and saying, you know, we made this law for a reason. We are responding to a crisis in our country, and so we made it for a reason, and you know, we should keep these protections in place. And also on the other side, though, that's one of the main arguments for that you hear for, you know, sort of opening it up and getting rid of some of these protections, is that it didn't, the argument would go that, you know, the conditions that caused the bailout, these big bailouts are still there, you know, and that's an argument that is still playing out, and we're, you know, no one's really won that discussion yet.
Thanks for that call, Ann, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Jared Bennett from the Center for Public Integrity, looking at Dodd-Frank banking legislation from 7 years ago and likely efforts to change, repeal, replace parts of it. Jared, a lot of this, as you mentioned, doesn't need even Congress to weigh in on, or some of it. Some Congress would have to. This isn't all a slam dunk, it sounds like. You say there might be some Senate Republicans in particular who are a little shy about changing some of these.
Hello?
Is that right? Jared? Jared, are you still there? I think our guest isn't hearing us. I kind of
hear.
Oh, Jared, are you there? Nope, looks like we've lost Jared Bennett with the Center for Public Integrity. We'll put him on hold and see if he can hear us. But in the meantime, we'll take another caller with thoughts on Dodd-Frank. Dwayne is with us in Weston. Dwayne, hi.
Yes, hi. I think it should be kept and strengthened. And I just think anywhere there's money, there's going to be corruption and greed. And then if you could get rid of that, I'd say get rid of the regulations. But until then, I think should have regulators on the regulators, because I mean, they have, it's just, we had a company CEO that fudged books and our stock went overnight, and it happened overnight, because of greed and corruption, you know. And
got it, Dwayne. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I think we have Jared back. And Jared, Dwayne, another caller wanting Dodd-Frank to stay in place. And I was asking you when we lost the connection there, are Senate Republicans going to be on board with all these changes we're talking about?
I think what I've been hearing is that, you know, for the most part, Senate Republicans are sort of a unified front on a lot of the changes, the sort of big picture changes, the core changes that they want to make. The key, from what I've been hearing in my discussions with people working on the Hill, are that is whether moderate Democrats will be, you know, willing to step up for this and fight for a lot of things that were that people like Elizabeth Warren and Sherrod Brown of Ohio, you know, those are two examples of very visible Democrats that are going to fight for Dodd-Frank. The key will be, from what I've been told, is, you know, whether moderate Democrats are going to step up.
How likely, Jared, do you think it is that parts of Dodd-Frank will go to reconciliation instead of straightforward through Congress?
That is very likely, especially on things like the funding of CFPB and the sort of structure of some of the regulatory agencies. You know, this the legislation that we focused on my story this week was the CHOICE Act from Jeb Hensarling. He's the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, and you know, that was introduced last session. It's going to be reintroduced in this session, but with a lot of changes. But that's generally considered the starting point. And a lot of those things, like you said, can be done through reconciliation. But those are a lot of the sort of structural things and tweaks, whereas changes to the system of, you know, things like designating what banks are automatically set aside for increased scrutiny, those things will probably require a little bit more legislative push.
And we leave it there. Jared, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Jared Bennett is a digital editor and reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. He joined us to talk about the fate of the Dodd-Frank Act under the Trump administration.
Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, we'll hear about threats facing our primate cousins around the globe.
On Food Friday, we'll spice up the Wisconsin winter with some Cajun and Creole-style cooking.
And UFOs are coming to Wisconsin in film. We'll meet the producer of a new documentary about a UFO festival in Dundee, Wisconsin.
That's all coming up tomorrow right here on Central Time.